Good morning, everybody. It's great to be back. Always great to be back here. Just thinking, I started to come to back then Bible Fellowship of Riverside, now Bridges. I was a baby Christian, and it was Joe back here, Joe Hobbs, who brought me here for the first time. And I still see some familiar faces out here, and it's just amazing to come back what feels like home in a lot of ways. And I went to Japan with Cliff and Christina and Joe, and that was when God put the country on my heart, just going there. And I was a baby Christian and just wanted to share the gospel with everybody. And and then went to Japan and was kind of shocked because none of them had ever heard about Jesus. And so that was, I think, the start of missions for me. And met Susan in Bible college. And got married and went to Japan. And so you can see up here, our kids are there. We have three boys. So the boys, the men in the picture are ours. Joel, the oldest, is on the right side for you guys, on the right there. They were missionaries in Indonesia with MAF. And I don't know if you guys have flown with MAF before. You probably have. But they're back in the States. They've left for medical reasons, and they're actually in application with OMF Japan now. So we may see them in Japan, Lord willing. We'll see what happens. And then our middle one, Brenton, is on the left bottom there, and they are in Bulgaria with IM. That's a Free Will Baptist mission. And then our youngest, Chad, is on top there, and they are in Azerbaijan. I don't know where that is, near the Caspian Sea. Susan and I had the privilege of being able to go visit both Brenton and Chad this past March, and so that was a real blessing. Yes. That's just a bit about our family, our ministry. We're in Japan. Go to the next one if you wanted to. And so that circled areas, well, Japan's like the size of California, if you can imagine that. And that middle area is Kanto. I'm the Kanto sector leader, so overseeing all of our work in Kanto. And Kanto holds about 45 million people. But I don't oversee them, just the work. I only have 40. So that's what God has given us for now. And it's been a lot different than being in church planting, which I miss in a lot of ways, but in other ways, God has given me some exciting things to do, and I'll mention those a little bit later. Just today, if you have your Bibles, open up to, or if your phones, if you're a phone person, 1 Timothy 1, and Paul begins, and in the passage, we're going to be looking at verses 12 through 17. And Paul begins the passage with thankfulness. And I think that's always a good place to start, is with thankfulness to God. And I just have to say, we're so thankful that we have been faithfully supported by Bridges for all the time we've been in Japan, and many of you. And just, it's humbling just to be in that position, to really trust God and be supported by so many of you. And so we're just very thankful for you guys. So before we jump into the Word, let me pray. Okay. Lord Jesus, thank you that, Lord, you are good. Lord, we just sang, just imagining the picture in Revelation where, behold our God seated on the throne. Lord, it's you who we worship today. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us your word, that this word is not something that we take lightly, Lord, that your word is to instruct us. And I thank you for the life of Paul, Lord, that we can look into and hopefully be encouraged from and also challenged. So, Lord, we pray that you would just lead this time for your glory. In Jesus, your name. Amen. Just to get started. The book of 1 Timothy opens with Paul writing to Timothy. There were some problems in the church in Ephesus. Struggles with really confusion about doctrine. There were a few people teaching strange doctrine about genealogies, things contrary to faith. And Paul writes in verses 8 to 11, he kind of reminds Timothy that the law was laid down for the ungodly, not for, okay, we're going to earn our righteousness through fulfilling the law, but that righteousness comes through faith in Christ. And so Paul, he was simply defending the fact that salvation was not to be found through fulfilling the law, but rather by faith in Christ. And in the end of verse 11, Paul says he's been entrusted with the gospel. And I think that's one reason we see Paul constantly defending it in his ministry. He's been entrusted with it, like we have as the church. We've been entrusted with the gospel, and we want to guard that to see that it's taught well. And it was to this proclamation of the gospel that Paul had been called to do, and we see him beginning there in verse 12. So in verse 12, we see him saying, "I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service." And if you probably know in Acts 13, Paul was appointed by God as an apostle to the Gentiles. And, you know, when we think about the life of Paul, when I think about the life of Paul, I think, wow, I could never do what Paul did. I don't know if you feel that way. Maybe you feel you can't do it. Susan and I have had people walk up to us and say, you know, I could never do what you do. And I think, no, you could. But it's one of these, and maybe that Paul would say that about us. You know, no, you could. And as we, you know, just thinking about this, well, Paul was an apostle, so we know that he had a special position. But also, I think from when we look at in this verse, he says, because he's judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. Now, the Greek word here is diakonion, and that's the word we get deacon from. And so just so that we know it's not something just for Paul, if we go to 2 Corinthians 5, this word is also used in 2 Corinthians 5, and it's in 5:18, but let's look at the context of it. Can we go to that slide, please? In this verse, it says, therefore, if anyone... Here, let's read it together, okay? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled to us and gives through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So in 1 Timothy 12, we have this word, service, called me to his service, but it's the same word that's used here as ministry in 2 Corinthians 5. So now if we look at the context of this, who is this verse, who is the us referring to? It's believers in Christ, anyone in Christ. So this ministry we see here is not Paul saying, oh, it's me as an apostle. This ministry has been given to me as an apostle. It's this ministry has been given to us, the same word that he's using. And so this is something that, you know, God has given to us, this ministry of reconciliation, namely reconciling men to God in Christ. Not that we do it, but we're part of that. God has allowed us to be part of the process. A friend of ours always says, men are God's method. And so one of the things that over the past years, in past 5 or so years in OMF, I've had the privilege of being part of developing and eventually facilitating, but developing this evangelism training for the Japanese church. And it's specifically for that, because we get a lot of organizations who come over and they just take these, well, from the UK or from the US, these evangelism seminars, which tell them, okay, here's how you should be doing evangelism. Here's a method. But the Japanese can't get there because their mind is just not set. while they don't think it's their role or they think they can't, and even within the church, I was speaking to one pastor when we were developing this, and he said, well, slow down, because not everybody can do evangelism. And I couldn't respond and say, no, that's not right, because we just don't do that to pastors in Japan. But, you know, thankfully, not all the churches are like that. And so we've been able to develop this training, and one of the sessions in the training, I'm getting way ahead of myself, I'm getting too excited. So just this past April, I was invited to hold this training at a church, and it was a church that, if you remember in 2011, a tsunami came in, and then the nuclear plant exploded, and there was three things. Oh, yeah, the earthquake, the tsunami, and the nuclear plant, because triple disaster. And so this church got washed away. And so they relocated to a place further south, and we were invited to go do evangelism training there. And so I sat down, talked to the pastor and his wife. We had dinner with them, and then one of the first things he asked me is, are you going to tell the people that evangelism is not just the job of the pastor? And I thought, you know, I'm so glad that you asked that, because that's the first session. And so just that's the kind of thing that was really exciting. And something really good that came out of that, after we did that training, one of the young ladies in the church committed her life, said, I'm going to commit my life to go to Bible college and go into full-time ministry. And so that's just an extra blessing that God did to give us. But just, I think that's one of the biggest barriers in Japan is people say, I can't do evangelism. And there's reasons. During the sharing time later on today, I think I'll be able to share that with you. But just this is something that it may not be just Japan either. Maybe the church in America needs us to understand that sharing the gospel is the responsibility of every single believer in Christ. Anyone is in Christ. And so that's where we really need to be purposeful about our lives. You know, do we want to bring glory to God every day? Who are the people in my life that I can share the gospel with? And be looking for those opportunities. Sorry, I'm getting distracted. I think that God does really want to use each one of us. And when we think of this, and go to the next slide, I think go back to 1 Timothy, yeah. We look at this verse, it says that God, He judged me faithful, appointing me to the ministry. And this faithfulness, I looked up just in William Hendrickson writes regarding this, God in his sovereignty and mercy considered Paul trustworthy, looking not at what was in Paul himself, but what the grace of God was doing in him. And I think it's easy for us. Oh, but I'm not worthy, or I'm not faithful enough to do this. But it's not all up to us. You know, thankfully, this qualification is not based on us. It's based on the work of Christ that he's done in us, that calls us, that makes us faithful. You know, I look at my life and think, oh, the failures along the way. You know, I didn't do this well. I let this person down. You know, who am I to be doing this? But, you know, ultimately, it is the grace of God in Christ that qualifies us even. And yeah, we're going to talk a little bit more about that later. But it's God who calls, equips, and empowers each one of us to accomplish his plans. But we need to set our hearts on those things. And it's not an easy thing. I know that life is hard. I know the mission field is hard. Japan is a hard place. And the thing is, we just need to step out and trust God. That's all we can do each day, is step out and trust God to use us for his glory. And in looking at this letter, 1 Timothy, you know, it was written about AD 62, 64, in that time, it's believed to. And during, this is after Paul's three missionary journeys. And he writes in 2 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26, about his experience. He says, here, yeah, we've got that, good. He says, I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, from danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, in danger from false believers. I've labored and toiled, and I have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst, and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Wow. That's a lot. You know, the cost for serving Jesus can be high. And, you know, I go back to our verse then. The next slide, please. So, looking at this, what does Paul's heart reveal at the very beginning? Is he bitter towards God about all that he went through? He's got a heart of thankfulness. You know, thank you, God, that you gave me the power, the strength. You gave me the strength to do all this. I think that's the key here, that, you know, Paul says, hey, God called me to this, but look what he can do. Look at his power. He's sufficient for this. He is worthy. You know, I look at that list of things that Paul went through, and our struggles seem trifle at most. Well, we had a 9-point earthquake that we went through. So what? You know, it's like, you know, and the radiation alerts. So we're here, we're alive. You know, we weren't, but you know, just and the other things, struggles in the churches that we've led, struggles in churches that we've had to work with pastors, that missionaries say, hey, I've just blown up my life, and we've got to go deal with those things, and those aren't easy, but compared to Paul, I can't complain, and yet I still find my heart at times not being thankful. So I think this is a really good reminder for me, and hopefully all of us, look, just to say, Lord, you know, I can take what you give me and be thankful. And I just see that as a great encouragement, you know, that and that, you know, all of us, that one day we can look back on our lives and say, thank you, Lord, for all the things that you've sustained me through all these years. That it's been good. And the power of God in us is also to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. It's his power at work in us. And so God judged Paul faithful, as we saw, and Paul puts that in the context of that in verse 13, in 1 Timothy 1, chapter 13, or verse chapter 13, verse 1a, he says, though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent. And you all know Paul has a history of had a history of persecuting the church. He was at the stoning of Stephen. And he's quick to remind Timothy and the believers of Ephesus of this. Look at this is who I was. Blasphemer. I spoke evil against God. I was a persecutor. I was insolent. I acted without respect towards God and others. Paul knows where he came from. And I think that's really, it's a key to our Christian lives, that we always remember where we came from. I mean, the same as I can remember where I came from for sure. I didn't become a Christian until I was 19. I was a liar, a thief. You know, I did drugs. I thought I was a good person, but then I wasn't. And hopefully you can remember your life. You know, no matter how good of a person, you are still far from God. And I think our selfishness really depicts that, ultimately. The good news is that in the second half of the verse begins with but. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. I received mercy. I still receive mercy today. Thank God. This mercy was God not giving me the punishment I deserve. I was destined for and deserving of eternal punishment and separation from God because of my sinfulness. That is who I am, but I receive, by nature, we're all that, but by nature we receive mercy. And Paul said he acted ignorantly in unbelief, and that's all of us. We acted ignorantly in unbelief. You remember what Jesus said from the cross? Father, forgive them. What? For they know not what they do. That's ignorance. None of us knew what we did, what we were doing, the depth of our sin. We were ignorant. But he continues in verse 14, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. So not only mercy, but grace. See, God could have taken Paul and just stopped him from being the persecutor of the church and said, okay, I'm done. You know, that's it. But no, he didn't leave Paul there. He took him, he took him and made him Paul, and used him as one of the greatest preachers and impactful people ever in the world. That's the grace of God. And by his grace, you know, we've all received the gifts of God. We all sit here today in the grace of God. We have clothes, we have food, we have all the spiritual resources we need for godly lives in Christ. We have everything. And that's just, you know, all those spiritual things, we're loved by God, our sin is forgiven, we receive the righteousness of Christ. All these things we just sang about. You know, that's grace. We don't deserve those things. He's so gracious to us. And that's what Paul has shared in this passage, is something I think that we all need to be ready to share. Who we were before we met Jesus. Can you share that? What God did to make us new. And what's God going to do in the future? You know, we all need to have that. 1 Peter 3:15 says, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. And I think when we understand the depth of our sin, it gives us a greater understanding of God's love. I've kind of seen it explained as though you've got your understanding of sin here, and the more your sin grows, your understanding of your sin grows, the greater your need for grace grows, and the greater your need for grace grows, the greater God is in your life. Jesus said, he who's been forgiven little loves little. And I think that's a good illustration of it. That when we realize just, God, I understand who I was, but not only who I was But who I am still, this sinful nature in me, Lord, I need you more and more. And you're worthy of my life and every day. And I think that's what happened to me at age 19 when I wanted to tell everybody about Jesus. That was the motivation that God gave me. Everybody at RCC was going to get the four spiritual laws. So, and that was, you know, then God allowed me to go to Japan and I saw even more of a need. You know, less than 1% of the people in Japan are believers. And actually, the church in Japan right now is shrinking. And one reason is because the church is not reaching out with the gospel. The believers are not equipped, or else they're not sharing their faith. And I think that's what our aim is right now, is we want to see every believer in Kanto equipped to share the gospel and make other disciples who can share the gospel. That's our vision. And so we just see the impact that grace can have on our lives if we really stop and think about the immenseness of God's grace. And in verse 15, you see this, where Paul says, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. Now this is the ESV I'm reading from. The NASB, New American Standard Version, says, I am chief. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. The NIV says, I am the worst. And this is coming from the lips of Paul, a Pharisee. You know, he was doing all those great things, supposedly, fulfilling the law as best he could, taught under Gamaliel, the highest, the greatest teacher of the time. And here he says, of whom I am the foremost of sinners. And, you know, look at the tense in this. It's not I was the foremost. It's I am currently. And that's something I think is important for us to note that, I mean, look at, in this next slide, I've kind of made a history of Paul's faith journey. In 1 Corinthians 15:9, look what it says. It says, I am the least of the apostles, back in 1 Corinthians. So these are in chronological order. Then in Ephesians 3:8, he says, I am the very least of all the saints. And in 1 Timothy 1:15, then it's, I am the worst of all the sinners. Do you see some growth there in his understanding of his own sin? And so the more we grow in Christ, the greater we understand the depth of our sin. It's not, I'm a better person now. Hopefully I am living more righteously day and day, but that doesn't mean my view of myself says, oh, look at me. I'm a missionary in Japan. Ooh. You know, be like me. No. Be like Jesus. Everything, you know, needs to point to Jesus. I know my own sin is greater than I could ever imagine, but thankfully I know God's grace is greater. There's a song that says, our sins are many, but his mercy is more. And we need to be reminded of that. So I think a true understanding of our sin in light of God's grace creates in us a posture for ministry. It's that posture of humility, and that Paul, I think, he had a good grasp of. He did have the power of God working in him to minister, but then he had this posture about him that he was walking in humility, saying, a friend of mine used to do evangelism named Mike. He was a Southern Baptist guy. He'd go around saying, I'm just one beggar telling another beggar where the bread is. And I remember we went and talked to one guy one day, And this guy, and he, Mike said that to this non-Christian guy, and this guy says, I ain't no beggar. I ain't never begged for nothing in my life. You know, it's in the South. That's why I have to say it like that. But it's really true. We have, our standing in Christ is nothing of ourselves. It's all by the grace of God. So the power to work is from God. The posture of humility in ministry. And finally, the purpose that God is working towards. What is this purpose? In verse 16, he says, but I received mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost, that's the chief worst of sinners, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. We're not always told why God does things in the Bible, but we're told clearly why was mercy given to Paul. And I think that pertains to the rest of us. Why have we received mercy? For this reason, that Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who are to believe in him for eternal life. God's looking forward to the other people who need the gospel. Our lives are displays. And I think we've got display tables here, and they just kind of sit there. But I think there's a bit more to this display, because Paul, for him, his life to be a display of God's patience, people would need to know who he was before Christ and see all that God did for him and come to know those things about him. So he wouldn't just sit there on the table. He would be giving that message of the gospel of Christ. And that patience is in God's patience. God was patient with each one of us. You know, God had to be patient with us. And, you know, this same word for Greek in the Greek is also found about patience in 2 Peter 3:9. It says, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. See, God's heart is clear. It's so clear for the gospel to be known to the world, to the people in Riverside, just everybody we can come into contact with. His heart is for them to come to repentance. And this is a missions weekend, I know, but I think, you know, all of our lives need to be focused on being missional. And we're very thankful for all the prayers that we receive, and we want to be praying for you as well, that your lives would be a display. And it is hard. You know, but again, the power to work is from God. You know, he works in us in our weakness, in our I can't do it, that we might be faithful to serve as he's called us to. But we've got to remember that posture that we have. We go to others, not as higher, but as people in need of God's grace, just like they do. And lastly, that purpose is for the world to know Christ. And I think Paul just gets excited at the end of this. He's just so happy about everything, because it says in verse 17, he says, to the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. That's what our lives are about. That's what we sang about earlier. You know, to God be the glory. Great things he has done and great things he's going to do. And so I think the challenge from this passage is just clear, just to let our lives bring glory to God, but to be purposeful about it. And so may we all go out today in His power, remembering His purpose, that others might know Him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we know that, Lord, You've been present with us today. Lord, we've gathered in Your name, and it's not for our own glory, but for Your glory, O Lord. Lord, we confess we are weak. We stray. Lord, I know I do. We have our own plans, and they don't always coincide with yours. And Lord, make us a people who walk with You and hear Your voice and look for every opportunity, Lord, that we might display Your patience with others. Lord, thank You for the opportunity to be part of Your plan of redemption. Use us for Your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.